Hey, welcome to the Film Podcast. I am Ricardo.
I'm Jenny.
I'm Adam Scott.
And today we have Michelle Coyle stepping in for Kevin Zube, Zuber Beer.
The Zube.
Yeah. What's up, Michelle?
Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hello.
For those who don't know, Michelle Coyle is my girlfriend and Jenny's sister.
Alleged sister.
Alleged sister.
Allegedly. I'm her sister.
Jenny is a clone baby, so we don't know.
So who knows? Yeah. Who knows who my real parents are?
Yeah. Well, I thought you meant like she's just a clone of Michelle. Like, so they're really just the same person.
No, no. She's, that kind of is she's a clone of some of... She's just a...
But
a,
I'm the cooler
laboratory
version.
Baby. Welcome, guys. Today we're talking about baseball films. The season just started.
Woo-hoo.
Baseball season.
Yay.
Yes. Adam, are you a baseball fan?
I am a baseball fan.
What team?
But I am not the most knowledgeable baseball fan.
It's like, kind of I like the minors.
You're like AAA.
AAA baseball.
Like, I mean, I enjoy baseball. Like, I love going to baseball games. But if it's not at the stadium, I don't really like watching baseball.
Okay. I feel you.
Baseball on TV is kind of boring, but being at the stadium, I love being at the stadium, getting a hot dog or a not dog in my case, and like a margarita and a beer and just sitting there and watching the game.
Margarita is a great baseball drink.
I think so.
You're all margaritas and Dodger dogs.
Yeah.
So what's your team if you had to pick a team?
Well, I have two teams.
Okay.
One team, because I'm from San Diego, so the Padres.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
I was a big Tony Gwynn fan growing up. And then our family team is the Tigers, because my great-great uncle was Charlie Gehringer, who's second baseman for the Tigers.
Oh, nice.
That's cool.
Very cool.
That's awesome.
Very interesting.
And, like, I have to ask. Coyle sisters?
Yes.
What's your team's?
The Atlanta Braves?
Probably the Yankees.
Oh, God.
Or the Phils.
The worst teams ever. I hate them.
Yeah, we're Braves fans. Duh.
We bleed it. Like, we bleed blue. We're Braves fans all the way.
You guys are Dodger fans?
Oh, I guess that's true. Yeah, you guys are blue, too. It's a different color blue, though.
Ours is a pretty blue.
I guess I like the Dodgers, too, because they're my adopted city.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll go to Dodgers games. I like baseball. I just love baseball, and so I'll go to any game. I'd rather see the Braves play, but I'll just go to a baseball game if I can.
Yeah.
I love baseball games, yeah. And I've tried, in all the cities that I've lived in, I've visited a number of stadiums and to see some games, because it's fun just to go to the stadium and, you know, whether you're at an O's game or Red Sox or whoever. But deep down, Braves all the way. So
I like baseball. Of course, I'm from LA, so I like the Dodgers. But I feel like sometimes they're like, oh, what teams do you like? Whether it's baseball, football, anything. And for me, it's teams I hate.
Whatever team is playing against such and such team.
Well, no,
is your favorite?
Yeah, basically. I mean, I love every team except the ones I hate.
Mm-hmm.
So for baseball, I hate the Yankees.
Oh my God, I hate the Yankees so much.
I won't go if, like, say someone said, oh, hey, we're taking New York, but you just got to go to a Yankee game. That's only like free everything, a week for free. I was like, I'm not going.
Really?
That's
still, yeah. I would still go to. I hate the Yankees. I would go to a game in a second.
I
just
hate
wear
them.
An Orioles cap. Like,
right? Okay. Just wear some Red Sox gear in there and piss off some people. It'll be great. Great times.
And I won't go to... So Yankees is one team. And then Angels. The Los Angeles...
Angels of Anaheim, which is ridiculous.
I won't go to Angels game at all.
I agree. I hate the Yankees. I would go to any ballpark, period, because like Jenny, I just like going to the ballparks. But I do despise the Yankees, and I have a strong dislike for the Phillies as well. strong dislike.
Yep.
All right, well, let's talk about other movies before we get into more baseball.
No, let's talk about more things we hate. I like this.
I'm good at things I hate.
Then done. All right, so by the time you're listening to this, by the time this is posted, it'll be a week after we recorded. Sorry to spoil the magic, but in today's news, we have two deaths in the film industry, which are?
Oh, Annette Funicello, who I know she was sick for a long time, but growing up, I used to watch the old school Mickey Mouse Club before the new ones, and I loved Annette, and I loved the Beach Blanket Babylon movies, and one of our favorite movies from when I was a kid was Back to the Beach, and that's what we used to watch at every slumber party, which is Annette and Frankie going back to the beach and the big kahuna, and it's I highly recommend everyone go watch Back to the Beach because it is a great, amazing movie. I love it.
Cool. And then we also had, what's his name? Jason died, right?
Adam? One of the Jasons. Yes.
One of the Jasons. Yeah. Is he the original Jason?
He's from part three, I would say.
I thought it was just one guy.
But there was mistaken. several people who played Jason.
All right. So those are the two deaths. And all right, so let's talk about movies we've seen in theaters lately. Any movies? Well, Jenny, you want to start us off with G.I. Joe?
Yeah, yesterday I saw G.I. Joe, Retaliation. I haven't seen the first one. I was told I didn't need to see it to see the second one. I was actually told not to see it. So I just went to see the second one.
They're like, if you see the first one, you're not going to want to
see the second one. You're not going to see the second one. Luckily, I mean, I thought it was good. The storyline, I know nothing about G.I. Joe. And so I thought that the whole storyline was very interesting. They go into like detailed histories of the characters, and that was pretty cool. There were a lot of really cool scenes, fight scenes between Snake Eyes and Storm Shadow. Yeah, that scene was awesome. There's that whole scene of Snake Eyes against all the red ninjas against the mountain. That's really cool, and it was just really interesting to learn personally to learn more about the G.I. Joe characters because I didn't really know anything about them at all. I never watched the show as a kid.
Oh, okay.
So that was all really cool. And I was told Channing Tatum was in it more, and he's really not.
Okay.
He's only in part of it.
Thanks for spoiling that.
I mean, everyone knew.
Well, now why would I go see it? Yeah.
I mean, it's not.
Does Channing Tatum do any dancing in it at all?
He might, actually. Ooh. He's really cute with these two little kids, though. Oh. I'm like, aw, men with kids. That's cute. Right.
Aw.
Yeah.
So you saw that. Anything else you saw?
Well, I started a couple movies, but I don't want to talk about them. Because
Until you finish them? Yeah. Okay. Adam, I know you saw Evil Dead.
I did.
I saw Evil Dead last night as well.
And?
Let's talk about it. Here's the thing. I liked it.
Uh-huh.
I didn't love it. I didn't love it.
Yes.
But I feel like Cabin in the Woods kind of spoiled everything for me. Like, I go in watching horror movies now through the prism of Cabin in the Woods, if that makes any sense.
I mean, it does, but that's just kind of sad for you.
I know. I know. But having said that, I was afraid that it would just be a remake and not, you know, and I just don't like when it's like kind of rehashing of something and not an original take on it.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, I think it was, I felt it was an original take on it. I just think it was a very well written original take on
it. Oh, yeah, yeah. Was it me or, I was a little inebriated in the beginning of it. Was it me or was the beginning dialogue just like horrible?
Yeah.
Like
it was really, really bad.
Yeah. And I don't know if they were going with like the Cabin in the Woods type of like, hey, we're parodying like these old or like that's just no, right?
No, because if they were failing at that, because Cabin in the Woods, even when their dialogue is cheesy, it's still well written cheesy dialogue, and it's to the point.
Yeah, I don't think my feeling was this was not supposed to be a parody in any way.
Yeah,
Jenny and I saw the panel at WonderCon, and that was definitely the feeling I got that this was very serious, and it was not supposed to be a comedy at all.
Okay, well,
yeah,
it was fun. I mean, it was a fun take on it. I definitely had a couple jumps. I'm easily like scared, meaning like, you know.
Those jump scares will get you.
Yeah, like with demons and stuff like that. I'm not afraid of like slasher stuff per se, but anything demon, like sinister type stuff, yeah, that gets me. Supernatural gets me.
It was good and creepy, but the writing was weak.
Bad. Yeah,
I don't think how do you say his name?
Fede Alvarez.
Alvarez. I don't think he's the best writer.
Yeah, no, he isn't.
I think he's really good at atmosphere and visuals.
Yeah, he was...
Like, if you watched his shorts, like, if you watch Panic Attack, it's really cool, not much of a story. If you watch El Cojonudo, I have no idea how to say it properly. It looks cool, and it's got some interesting moments, but as far as the story, it's really childish.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think if he would have let somebody else write it, or you know... Let somebody else.
What else has he done?
Lifting.
This was his first feature.
All shorts. Oh, okay.
He's okay, just done shorts.
But he was like a huge fanboy from listening to him at the panel. Like he was a huge Evil Dead fanboy.
Yeah. Well, even from the movie, you can tell he loves the movie. I don't know if part of it is maybe stuff was lost in translation.
Yeah.
So I think it's kind of a triple threat in a negative way. Like stuff was lost in translation. He's not a very good writer in the first place.
Yeah.
And it's just such kind of an iconic horror property that he's working with in general.
Yeah.
So those two things kind of work against him. And as much fun as I had, there was still like just a lot of disappointing moments.
Is it me or is it like Jane Levy and Shiloh Fernandez don't look like brother and sister?
They don't look like brother and sister at all.
Like it's like this dude clearly looks Hispanic.
Well, he looks like
Enrique Iglesias, kind of.
Well, see, he reminds me of Joaquin Phoenix all the time, which is like why I don't like him in the first place.
Oh, see, don't ever compare him to Joaquin, man.
See,
Joaquin.
Dead girl. There's something about his look. He reminds me of Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah.
So he has that going against him in my book.
Here is my thing. I love Lou Taylor. Was it Pucci? Pussy?
Pucci.
Pucci. Pussy. Did I say pussy?
What?
I hope not.
Yeah. Lou Taylor, I love that guy. I think he's a good actor. And even he was looking bad.
He's really good.
He was looking bad in the movie because of the dialogue. Like, it's just like him delivering some of the lines.
Very poorly written.
But fun overall.
Was it very, very bloody? The scenes we saw at WonderCon were horribly bloody in the fact that I had to cover my eyes.
It was beyond bloody.
Okay.
It was just buckets and buckets and buckets.
But I couldn't sit through it. I know
would
that.
Would you classify this as like torture porn? I wouldn't. It was like a bloody movie, like a bloody horror movie.
I mean, torture porn's a weird title anyway, like a weird labeling of a genre.
Yeah.
That doesn't, I don't know. I don't
like it, but.
Yeah. I don't know that I would call this torture porn, but it's definitely relishing in gore. It's a splatter movie.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So, you liked it overall?
I liked it. Didn't love it.
Yeah. I wish I loved it.
Yeah, I really wanted to love it.
I know.
And I thought she was great.
Michelle and Jenny were saying that in the panel, they were saying that they want to make these link up to new Evil Dead, the old Evil Dead.
They were kind of saying that in total, they want there to be 7 movies and the last movie to be them both together. So that's their ultimate, or Bruce Campbell's ultimate goal. At least that's what he said at WonderCon.
Well, yeah,
he wants 7 movies total and the last one to be a link up of the two.
Yeah. I was just reading something today about the alternate ending of this that was like tying into the Bruce Campbell stories. And then at the end, did you say for the end of the credits?
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, so that's there.
Yeah.
And then you've got Bruce Campbell and Sam Raimi talking about an Army of Darkness 2 or Evil Dead 4.
Yeah,
or
it's already
you call
that's
it.
That's already in the works from what I understand.
So there's something after the credits?
Still yeah.
So everybody stay. It's like an Avengers movie.
Yeah.
I mean, you're probably just going to go out of the theater scratching your head, but it's there.
Yeah.
And I like when they play stuff from the original Evil Dead. Like, they play the Doctor's recordings from the first one. That's cool.
Yeah. And they don't really say what year this movie takes place, so...
They do not.
So this could predate Evil Dead, the first one, so...
None of them. I don't remember.
If you look at all the cars, I guess the Jeep Wrangler kind of looked.
They do have newer stuff, but did anybody have cell phones? I don't remember. They don't really play it up.
Yeah.
For as bad as things get, no one ever brings out their cell phones.
Yeah.
So. That's what I always have a problem with in like movies like that. It's like, okay, why didn't someone just pull out your cell phone? Seriously.
Yeah. They usually do something with that. Where it's like, well, there's no service. That's kind of
right.
The
like you have to just say that or something, because otherwise it's ridiculous.
But in this one, I felt like it was kind of the opposite of that, where they were foreseeing all of the people's questions, because so much was overwritten to me. Like having the one character be a nurse, and like that's part of the reason why they say it's like, all right, well, I mean, I see where you're going with it, but I didn't. I mean, I also didn't think she was very good. Like, I didn't need her there at all.
Yeah.
Except until she turned into a deadite. That was cool.
Yeah.
But like up until that point, she was really painful to watch.
Yeah. Yeah. So okay. So Evil Dead, and then I will just quickly say I did see To the Wonder. By the time this episode comes out, it'll be out in theaters and video on demand. Check it out. I loved it. And by the time this comes out, you can go back and see my review of it. It'll be its own little thing, like 3 to 5 minute review. Which I loved.
I thought you said 35 minutes.
Yes. It will be an hour and 30 minute
it's
review.
It's as long as the movie.
It's all voiceover. Very still.
Guys. You're taking a red letter media.
A lot of stillness.
Yeah. Yeah. Very. It's going to be very still. Just a lot of. It's going to be actually a video review.
It's just you looking at the camera. Voice over, yeah. And it's like just grain.
Me walking through the theaters, the theater aisles, and touching the seats. It's going to be awesome, guys. But I loved it, so check it out if you get a chance. It's on video on demand as well. All right, anything else? Any other movies? You, Adam?
No.
All right. Well, then let's get into it. The stream of the week, does anybody have one? Or I have one. Nobody else does.
I don't, so go for it.
The Hunger Games.
Really?
Yeah, why not?
I wish I had a stream of the week instead of that.
I have a different one.
Okay.
Is it better than the Hunger Games? I have a couple.
Yes.
The Hunger Games, I went to watch reluctantly with Michelle, and because I'm a big fan of, what's it called?
Soderbergh?
No.
Harrelson.
Well, that too.
Woody Harrelson.
I'm a big fan of a lot of people don't know. Steven Soderbergh did all the second unit stuff.
Right. That's what I thought you.
Well, that was my main thing. But I'm a big fan drawing a blank here. He's a huge fan.
That's how big of a fan he is. He's drawing a blank.
What this ties into?
Oh, Battle Royale.
Battle Royale. Oh my God, I couldn't think of it.
Okay.
Battle Royale and part one and two. And this was like, okay, this is like a PG-13 version of Battle Royale, so check it out. I love parts of it. I didn't like parts of it.
The books are really good. You should read the books.
Oh, yeah, I want to.
And if Jenny can read the books, then anyone can read the books.
Yeah. I don't read.
My other recommendation, just because it's fun, and if you just have 30 minutes to burn, you could just play in the background. It's not something you need to spend time with. It's TV, though. Adventure Time. Animated series.
I love Adventure Time. That much more than I approve of The Hunger Games.
Jenny, what do you have?
I have two, actually. I finally saw Indie Game the movie, and I know I recommended it last time, but I actually saw it, so I can actually legit say that I really liked it. And it made me cry at the end, and you don't have to be a gamer to feel for these guys.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and you really want them to succeed in the end. The other one that I just was my... it's one of my film discoveries, my recent film discoveries, and I still have 30 minutes left to watch of it. I haven't finished it yet, but I'm sure it ends well, is Roman Holiday's on there.
Oh, ooh, cool. I love Roman Holiday.
That's really cool. New on there. So,
it's on Netflix?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Streaming.
Yeah. Oh, such a good movie.
All right, so let's get into the list. Today, we're talking about baseball movies. And before we get into it, I just want to really point out how great Major League Baseball is, MLB is about licensing their brand to movies, because there's nothing worse than going to see Any Given Sunday and seeing fake fucking teams.
Oh my gosh, it's ridiculous.
The San Diego Sharks. It's like, you mean the Dolphins? Miami Dolphins? I hate that. I hate the NFL for doing that. They do that a lot with every, like, there hasn't really been a NFL sanction. Okay, one. Great.
I can't believe they sanctioned that.
North Dallas 40, they're the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a couple, but most of them, it's like some random names, and you're like, what?
Yeah. But I do appreciate Major League Baseball licensing their name, not only the Major League Baseball brand, but the team brand, so... And all the teams that let the movies take on their logos and stuff like that. So, very cool. All right, Michelle, since you're the newbie to this list, kind of, you can go first. Okay. I won't cock block you with my picks.
Well, I mean, you might end up.
He makes it seem like we won't.
That actually does.
Really, we all put our favorites first now, so no one else says.
You're like, number five is the most awesome movie ever.
Yeah.
Tricked
you.
Okay, so for my number five, I'm gonna go a little old. Well, not that old school, but older than me. And that's the original, The Bad News Bears with Walter Matthau and Tatum O'Neill. So you have two Oscar-winning actors in The Bad News Bears. That's what I, it's a great kids movie. I remember watching it as a girl, young girl, and here's Tatum. She's coming on to an all boys team and they all hate her, but she's the secret weapon. She's the one that comes in and she wins the games for them. Well, not wins so much as makes them less terrible. And Walter Matthau's amazing and he's funny and everything. I love that movie. I could watch it. Like, it just reminds me, brings me right back to childhood. And I prefer it to the more recent remake of it.
Yeah.
I mean, the remake was almost like an exact, like, just updated version of it. That he brought nothing new.
Like, I know. Basically. I don't know. I feel like Billy Bob was, I don't know, maybe just from, I look at it through rose-colored glasses, but I feel like his character was a lot worse than Walter Matthau.
Oh, no. Walter Matthau was way worse, but Walter Matthau is likable.
I know. Well, that's the thing, is Billy that Billy Bob Thornton wasn't likable, whereas Walter Matthau, I mean, yeah, he was did terrible, weird things, but he was likable. And, like, you still like him, even though he does this crazy crap, but you still like him.
I like how racist it is, how, like...
There's the line, it's even in the trailer, where he's like, there's a little boy that, when he brings Tatum O'Neal to the team, the little boy's like... says basically like, oh, we get Jews, you know, chinks and blacks on the team, and now we got a girl. Like, this is like, he literally, that is a line in the movie. Like, it was really terrible, but kind of funny.
Not kind of.
Back when racism was funny. Yeah. I don't remember this movie at all. Like, I remember watching it, but I can't remember it.
I don't think I've ever seen that original.
Oh, it's so good. I wonder, I didn't check to see if it was streaming or anything, but it is, it's really cute. And
I think the new one is.
Oh, really?
Oh, the new one streaming, probably. This, I don't, the original is, Walter Matthau's a god. Like, he's the comedy genius, so.
Yeah. I don't know if he's a god. I think God would have a problem with that, but.
Oh, my goodness.
All right, well, cool. I like that pick.
God has a problem?
No, I don't. I'm an atheist, so it doesn't matter. So, I love that movie. I kind of love the remake, too. I mean, in its own weird way, I like that as well. It's Richard Linklater.
That's
Jenny?
True.
Jennifer.
All right. So my number five, I'm going with one from my childhood. And it's 94's Angels in the Outfield.
Aww.
Very cool. So that's with Joseph Gordon-Levitt, right?
Yeah. My first time falling in love with him.
Which is also a remake.
Yep.
Is it really? Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah. What year does the original come out? Does anybody know?
I don't remember. I just remember watching. I want to say the 70s.
Yeah, yeah. I think Jenny, your dad mentioned it. But yes, it stars Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Tony Danza as his dad, Christopher Lloyd.
Tony. Danny Glover.
Danny Glover. That's
right. Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Adrian Brody's in it.
I remember Adrian Brody being in it.
Yeah.
I have a really nice Tony Danza story. Should I share my Tony Danza story?
Does it involve tap dancing? Yeah.
No. I waited on him once. He came to my bar. He was alone. He was on his way to like a memorial service or something. And so he was just having like a bowl of soup. First of all, he tipped really well. Like, it was like a $5 bowl of soup and left like a $20. But he talked to me the whole time about recumbent bicycles and how they're really the best form of exercise and how I really should purchase a recumbent bicycle. Mm. So I had a long discussion with Tony Danza about the benefits of recumbent bicycling.
Interesting.
That's my Tony Danza story. But he was a baseball player, right? Like, he was originally...
Oh, really? I didn't know that either.
That's true, right? He was a baseball player?
I think he was. I don't think he went pro. I think he might have been AAA.
Like, he was in, like, the minors, and then he didn't succeed, and that's when he got Who's the Boss, and he played a former baseball player in Who's the Boss.
I thought he was a boxer too at one point.
Oh, I don't know about
that. Angels in the Outfield, the original is from 1951, and it stars one of the stars is Janet Leigh.
It sounds a little different than the movie sounds a little
and
different.
Both Bad News Bears are on Instant right now.
Oh, are they? Oh, that's good to know. I love the original. I really do. I love Tatum O'Neal. She was such a sweet kid.
Yeah, yeah.
she was really good on Rescue Me, too.
Oh, yeah, she was really good.
There's going to be a Tony Danza, Joseph Gordon-Levitt reunion.
The Don Juan movie?
Yeah.
What is it?
Don Juan.
It's called Don Juan's Addiction.
Yeah.
I think they changed the title, but... it's the Joseph Gordon-Levitt directed movie.
It was out South by Southwest, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
All right.
But I'll just put it out there. Tony Danza is a really, really nice guy.
No, don't put it out there.
I like him. He's such a nice guy.
And Dermot Mulroney is in it, too.
Who I always confuse with... Mm-hmm. What's the other guy's name?
Dylan McDermott?
Yes. My God.
I feel like this is two episodes in a row we've talked about.
I think so. Well, why do I always starting, get them
we're
confused?
You ruined it, but eventually we're going to get to our trivia game called Dermot Mulroney. Or Dylan McDermott.
Okay. And you know what? I would always get it wrong.
We asked the guest who stars in the movie.
Dylan McDermott. We can do another movie.
Okay, yeah, no, I'm going to do another movie.
Okay.
But we'll get to it eventually.
It's And you know what's funny is they don't really look alike.
They look nothing alike.
They look nothing alike. And I still can't get them
Their
so
names are hard.
Confused. And I don't know why.
Their names are hard.
All right.
They're like the same. But backwards.
Yeah.
For my number five, I picked two movies that are kind of about baseball, but not really. Like, there's not a lot of baseball time in the movie. So my first pick for number five is from 1994, Cobb. It's about Ty Cobb. It stars Tommy Lee Jones. And it is about Ty Cobb. He's older now, and he kind of gets together with a sports reporter to kind of put together his autobiography and, you know, straighten out some stories that were told. And really, there's no baseball in this, but a few scenes. But it's really great. I think Tommy Jones is amazing in it. I haven't seen this in a while, but I remember it was a time. I think it was. I was really into, I forgot, I think I just watched, what's the other baseball movie that, it's written, directed, adapted by Ron Shelton, who wrote a couple of baseball movies.
Yes, he did.
But that inspired me to kind of like figure out, watch all of Ron's movies, Ron Shelton's movies, and this is what led me to it. And it's fun. That's one of my picks, Cobb, with Tommy Lee Jones. And my other one is... I like this movie a lot. It's really a baseball movie through the prism of Tony Scott's eye. Because at one point, they're playing baseball in the rain. So my other pick for number five is from 1996, The Fan. I think it's a fun movie. I like when Robert De Niro plays a crazy guy. And he's exquisitely crazy in this. He plays an obsessed baseball fan. Who is also a knife salesman, and he's obsessed with Bobby Rayburn from the San Francisco Giants.
That's what he gets transferred.
That's what he gets transferred to, right? I think you're right. And Benicio del Toro's in it, who plays an awesome, awesome character named Juan Primo. And Ellen Barkin is in this, John Leguizamo, and it's basically about an obsessed fan. That's all you need to know. And there's a scene where they're playing baseball in the rain.
Like you do.
Like you do when it rains. You're like, the show must go on.
Just keep playing.
Just keep playing, guys.
I would like to mention Ty Cobb was a former Brave.
Yeah, yeah.
He's
Atlanta.
He's from Georgia. Georgia boy. Kind of a dick from what I understand, he is a Georgia boy.
Yeah, he's a dick. I think he played most of his, I think most of his professional career, I think he played for the Detroit Tigers, I think. I'm not sure, but there you go.
I know he's a Georgia boy, and I believe we have a statue. Don't we have a statue?
I'm not from Georgia, so I wouldn't know. Sorry.
I don't know either. I'm sorry.
All right, Adam, what is your number five?
I'm really interested to see where your list is going based on those two opening picks.
Yeah.
My number five is, let's see what I want to do here. My number five is from 1993, and it's The Sandlot.
Cool.
That's my number one. That's all right. No, I love it. I'm okay with it.
It's on sale right now on Blu-ray, I believe.
Oh, really?
I mean, today, for you, not for the listeners, it's probably not going to be on sale by the time this airs.
On Amazon?
Yeah.
Oh, and you're right. He was not a Brave. I assumed he was because he was from Georgia. Ooh. And called the Georgia Peach. And I assumed he was a Brave, but he wasn't. He was a Tiger.
I would assume he does.
I know, it makes an ass. But he was called the Georgia Peach.
Said it.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is this a... SEC is going to come down on us. She said ass on air.
Yeah.
Okay, so Sandlot.
So The Sandlot.
So it's your number five. My number five. Number one.
Yeah, it is.
Not on my list.
But my real number one is Sandlot number two. No, I'm just kidding.
Wow.
Never even seen it. Not going to lie.
Yeah, I've never seen it either. I love this movie.
Smalls.
Yes.
Love it.
Yeah, everyone says that all the time. If you don't get that reference when someone says it to you, they'll probably just say it again.
Yeah. You're killing me, Smalls. You're really doing that.
My little brother had a friend growing up who looked just like Squints.
Really?
But everyone, this was 93, so my brother wasn't, I was 10 when this came out, and so his friends were much younger, and they kept misquoting the movie and calling this friend who looked like Squints Smalls. I'm like, no, he doesn't look like Smalls, he looks like Squints, but whatever. I love it. It's so great.
It's so good. Everything about it. All these kids, they were like the kids of that decade. Like, they did all those really fantastic kid movies all together, I feel like. Like Mighty Ducks and Big Green and like all those.
Well, I think you're just talking about Patrick Renna.
Well, that and like Brandon Adams,
who actually kid. Patrick Renna shops at the same Trader Joe's as me.
Ooh.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I saw him. Got him
to is come he still in big?
Here. No, he's skinny.
Good.
So
I like that.
This movie is a perfect combination. When they get better.
I don't know.
I like this is a perfect combination of like a little bit of Stand By Me and like a little bit of it's just such a good like kid adventure movie.
Yeah. Because like well, it's Stand By Me plus baseball plus I don't know, it just got so much great stuff.
A little kind of a little Goonies. Little Goonies in there.
Goonies.
Yeah.
It's just like when you're a kid, like it's kind of like perspective, like that dog seemed huge when you were a kid. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure like him seeing it as an adult, it was like oh, it was a little bulldog, but it looked fucking huge when I was a kid.
Yeah.
It's such a fun movie.
It's a weird thing. So I was 10 when this came out, and the nostalgia that this movie made me feel as a 10-year-old for a time I wasn't even alive for, it's really weird. But I was like, that seems awesome. I wish I had summers like that where we could go play baseball all the time and just hang out in the treehouse.
Yeah.
Have s'mores.
Yeah. The Mallow.
That was so good.
And then, love everything about this movie.
But yeah,
I could still Dennis watch Leary. It still holds up too.
Yeah, it does.
This great cast, Dennis Leary, Karen Allen, James Earl Jones.
Yeah.
And he doesn't he end up as an adult, doesn't he end up playing for the Dodgers?
The leader?
Yeah.
Benny?
Yeah, Benny ends up
playing. Yeah, he ends up playing for the Dodgers. And then the other kid ends up
being an announcer. Yeah. All right, good pick. I knew someone was going to put it on the list, so well done, sir. Jenny, sorry.
That's all right.
Michelle, what is your number four?
Okay, so my number four is 8 Men Out, and I will read the IMDb description of that, which is a dramatization of the Black Sox scandal when the underpaid Chicago White Sox accepted bribes to deliberately lose the 1919 World Series. I love this movie. I know it's not on a lot of people's list as being a top baseball movie, but the cast is amazing. I mean, you have from John Cusack to D.B. Sweeney to Jason Strathairn, Christopher Lloyd, John Mahoney, Brooker. Michael Brooker. If you have any Walking Dead fans out there, that's Merle. He pretty much is one kind of an asshole in this, so
he's really good.
Good at playing an asshole, guys. But I'm sorry, not Jason Strathairn. David Strathairn. Jason's a completely different.
I just heard
person.
Strathairn. That's all.
Yeah,
I heard. Sorry.
Sorry, David. But this is this movie. It's about a really dark time in baseball history, but it's such a good story, and you have Shoeless Joe Jackson and how he's just. You know, getting pulled along, and John Cusack, who doesn't really want to do it, and you know, fighting with them, but he has to do it. And
it's such a great movie. I'm glad that you, because as much as I love it, I've only seen it one time, but I just remember it so vividly. And I feel like if it weren't for all the scenes involving baseball, which there aren't that many of, it would make just an awesome play. Is it based on a play?
I don't know. I could see it as a play, and that's not something I've.
It's written and directed by John Sayles.
Yeah. It is John Sayles. I did know that. Growing up, I was kind of a John Cusack fanatic, as many people of my, ladies of my generation were. So that might be one of the reasons why I watched this movie when I was younger. But also D.B. Sweeney, who is from The Cutting Edge, so I also love him. But he plays Shoeless Joe, and he's so good as Shoeless Joe. And I'm such a baseball person. I just love anything with baseball. But then, John Cusack and D.B. Sweeney and all these guys in it, and it's...
Well, I'm glad you have it on your list, so I don't feel bad about not having it on mine.
If you follow, what's that show? Boardwalk Empire. The first season kind of...
Oh, yeah, they do. They talk a little bit about the Black Sox.
They talk a lot about
Sox.
This, because of Arnold Rothstein, who was the alleged kind of mastermind of that whole thing, which I believe happened.
It was dark. But these guys were really underpaid. They were super underpaid. They were not making any kind of money. Not that that's an excuse and, you know, cheating's terrible and don't do it. But, you know, at the same point, they weren't necessarily, and the movie doesn't necessarily make the players out to be the bad guys either. That they were, their hand was forced in a lot of ways to do what they did just to make an extra, like, you know, few bucks.
Yeah. Very cool. That's your number four. Jenny, what is your number four?
Okay, so my number four, I don't care who doesn't like this movie.
I don't. I hate it.
Because I love it, and I think it was because I was a little inebriated when I saw it for the first time, and my best friend loves it, so anything you see with someone who loves a movie that much makes you love it.
I think I know what you're going to say.
I don't know that you do. 2006's Benchwarmers.
Oh. No.
That was not That's what not I was what expecting.
I know.
I thought you were going to say, well, I hope, or I don't care if I'm stepping on your list, if this is on your list. I thought you were going to say Fever Pitch.
Oh, that's actually an okay movie, but yeah. It's not on my list.
Okay, I'm glad that's not on your list. No, I really like Benchwarmers. Savannah got good. Me to watch it.
I think it's. I didn't see it for the longest time but my old roommate Samantha was obsessed with it, and so she made me watch it, and I love it. I think it's hilarious. I think all these guys are hilarious, and
John Lovitz
is
hilarious.
John Lovitz is hilarious. It's really good.
This sounds ridiculous.
It's hilarious.
I felt so, when I found this, Savannah owns it, and so you made me watch it because I was making fun of it because I worked at a movie theater when this movie came out, and I was like, that looks terrible. And I just I made fun of everybody who went to see it. And then I finally saw it, I was like, that was kind of funny.
It's so funny.
I'm just going to read the IMDb like synopsis of it. A trio of guys try to make up for missed opportunities in childhood by forming a three-player baseball team to compete against standard children baseball squads. I could see how it's funny.
Yes. And I'll read the cast off. Okay, it's Rob Schneider, David Spade, John Heder, John Lovitz, Molly Sims, Tim Meadows, Nick Swardson. The list goes
on. SNL
alums. And that's why it's so funny.
So funny.
I love Nick Swardson. He's hilarious.
He's the brother. Whose brother is he? He's
John Heater's brother, right?
I thought he was.
No, David Spade's brother. David Spade's
He's like the albino guy.
That's right. And he won't go out in the sun. And the Girl Scouts like are there trying to give him Thin Mints. And he has like the sword because they're trying to get him to come out. And it's so funny. It's just, he like chases after the Girl Scouts with a sword.
It's a Happy Madison production, isn't it?
Yeah,
So it's just that weird, bizarre left turn humor. It was like, okay, I didn't see that coming, but that was hilarious.
Yeah. I love what's his name, John Lovitz, and his like Knight Rider car.
Yeah, he's got the Knight Rider car. He's got the Batmobile.
Yeah,
and he's got like a robotic butler.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. He's like, would you like some grilled cheese sandwich? He's like, not now. It's all set. It's a fun movie. It's surprising that's on your list, but I like it.
I think it's so fun.
Who's the friend that likes this?
My old roommate, Samantha.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. She made me watch it, and I could not be happier.
All right. My number four is from 1950. And I'd seen it a while back, but it literally was playing on this last Thursday. I watched it. It was playing on TV, and I really loved it. I forgot how cool this movie was. And it is the Jackie Robinson story, starring Jackie Robinson, which is really weird because I'm not the greatest actor in the world. You know?
He had a lot to do. He didn't need to be acting also.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He was a pretty busy guy, you know. Yeah. But it is really good nonetheless, you know. I feel like this movie was just a giant PSA for like civil rights, you know, like hey, or like it was more like. Like a PSA from like a Major League Baseball. It's like, hey guys, we gotta accept this.
Yeah,
they're gonna be playing baseball. But it's really cool. It's a story of how Jackie Robinson went from, I think he was playing for the Kansas City Monarchs, and then he eventually went to Montreal. Someone's gonna kill me. He went to Montreal, I think.
I don't know. Eventually he ended up right on the Brooklyn Dodgers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But this was like, he was still playing for the Brooklyn Dodgers when this movie was made. He started playing for the Brooklyn Dodgers, I think, in 1947. And then he played all the way till, I think, 56. So this movie was released in 1950. So it was like right in the middle of him playing for the Brooklyn Dodgers that he made this movie. So it's really weird because it's like, you know, like like, it just, hey, during the off season, come and film a movie about yourself. I feel like that happened a lot in the 50s. Like, they just got to throw people to do biographies.
Well, like, you know, like Elvis Presley, like, yeah, hey, come on over, make a movie. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it is interesting. And Ruby Dee plays his wife in the movie. Ruby Dee is Ozzie Davis's wife, mm-hmm, in real life, but she was a great actress. Onto herself, she's just amazing actress, and yeah, she's a really young Ruby Dee, and Jackie Robinson playing himself.
I haven't seen this movie since we watched it in like fifth grade.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you watched it for school?
Yeah.
Has anybody here seen the new one, 42?
I have not yet. It hasn't come out. By the time this airs, it should be out that weekend, okay, but we have not seen it. But yeah. Yeah, he did. He played for the Kansas City Monarchs in 1945, just a little trivia. And then he moved to the Montreal Royals in 1946.
Did they become the Kansas City Royals?
I think so, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Interesting.
So there you go. Jackie Robinson's story. It's a great movie. There you go. But I'm sure it won't be as good as 40, yeah.
I'm looking forward to 42. I'm mm-hmm excited for it.
Yeah.
Hold on. I'm rearranging my list because I'm cheating.
Uh-oh.
Okay. So my number... Wait, what number am I on? Four?
Yeah.
My number four is from 2001, and it's 61.
Oh, ooh, good one.
I never saw it because it's about the Yankees.
Oh, my gosh. Are you kidding me?
But back in the day, Yankees, it's about Mickey Mantle and Roger Maris.
I know.
And Billy Crystal directed it. Yeah. And it's really good.
I love that movie.
It's Barry Pepper, right?
Barry Pepper, who is one of the most underrated actors.
And Thomas Jane playing Mickey Mantle.
So good. I'm sorry, but Barry Pepper is such a talented actor, and I feel like he gets no respect, and I just want to say that he's really, really, really good.
I mean, I can tell you why he gets no respect.
Oh, why?
Battlefield Earth.
Well,
yeah.
You know, other people were in that movie too, and I'm sure it was a nice paycheck.
They were famous already, though.
Yeah.
But I'm Barry Pepper. Like he, what was that movie he's in? He's in 25th Hour, right? Like,
yep.
He's amazing in that.
Yeah,
he's great in Saving Private Ryan.
Oh my God, and he's a good actor.
He's really, really good.
He's major skills.
I just
skills.
Don't think he was famous enough to survive Battlefield. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh man. But in a way,
it's interesting because his career has kind of gone in the supporting actor way.
He does a lot of character roles.
Which it's kind of like he's a leading man because he's a handsome dude, but he does a lot of character work, which makes for interesting, film.
And it shows off his acting chops probably better than any leading man role.
He kind of, for me, stole the ending of, what's it called? True Grit, the remake.
Oh, yeah. He's so good in True Grit. I forgot about that.
He's unrecognizable in that movie.
Yeah. Really, oh, my gosh. So good. Sorry. I'm going to go on my Barry Pepper, tirade.
You go for it because he is good and he is underrated.
He deserves it. Okay, guys?
Was this an HBO movie?
Yes. It was an HBO movie. I remember watching all like the behind the scenes lead up to it, where it was like Billy Crystal hanging out in Yankee Stadium, like practicing with all the dudes in the Yankee colors. And I know that's probably painful for you since you don't like the Yankees, but it was cool to see.
Well, I feel like I'm going to get a lot of flack from like listeners like, oh, well, there's a lot of classic movies that are, you know, like 50s and 60s of
Pride of the
baseball.
Yankees.
Yeah, but they all have to do with the Yankees, so no.
Oh,
my gosh.
Okay, look, I hate the Yankees as much as the next person. The devil wears pinstripes, but I'm still going to appreciate a decent movie, even if it has Yankees in it. I really seethe when people like have Yankees hats on. Like, it makes me really want to punch people, but I can still watch a movie.
It's a really good movie, and they're both, and Barry Pepper and Thomas Jane are great together. And this is about
Thomas Jane's good too.
He's this is about the Roger Maris Mickey Mantle race to beat Babe Ruth's home run record.
Yeah,
and it's really great. You've got Thomas Jane being Mickey Mantle, like all boozed out and having to go to the hospital, and Roger Maris is all stressed out and receiving hate mail from fans saying that the record is Mickey Mantle's to beat, and like he's losing his hair. It's really, really good. If you haven't seen it, you should check it out. It was on Netflix Instant for a while. I don't know if it still is. If it's not, it should be. But it's great. It's a lot of fun. It's an interesting slice of history.
I might check it out. Because I do like Barry Pepper. And Thomas Jane. So, what else has Billy Crystal done as a director?
Did he do Mr. Saturday Night?
Oh, okay. And then
He did that one. Oh, shoot.
I don't know if he directed it, but I know because he writes a lot too. Like, I know he wrote America's Sweethearts. I don't think he directed that one. He didn't direct Paris.
Which
I love. There was one his sister was in with him, and they had I just remember vaguely that they had to kiss him.
His directing was, he's only directed weird. Mr. Saturday Night, Forget Paris, and 61.
Cool.
Maybe it's Forget Paris that I'm thinking of.
All right. Well, that's a good pick. But I haven't seen it, and I will be seeing it, though. Michelle, what is your number three?
Okay, my number three is A League of Their Own, which...
That's my number three.
It's my number three.
That's my number three.
Oh, my God.
Yay, we can all talk about it.
That's really weird. Yeah. After we're done talking, it's just going to be your turn again.
Right. Yeah. You know. So here's the IMDb synopsis of it. Two sisters join the first female professional baseball league and struggle to help it succeed amidst their own growing rivalry. I love this movie so much.
Yeah.
Everybody in it's amazing.
Yeah.
John Lovitz again.
Tom Hanks. Mm-hmm. Gina Davis.
I had a huge crush on Gina Davis because of this movie, and I was like 9.
What was her sister's name?
Kit Keller?
Kit, yeah. Oh, she's so good.
But Lori Petty?
Lori Petty. And Rosie O'Donnell.
Rosie O'Donnell and Madonna.
Yeah.
And the nurse from Monk, whose name I always forget. Anybody else watch Monk? No,
I don't. But I just
David Strathairn's in this one too.
Yeah.
Gary Marshall. Oh, I forgot Bill Pullman plays Gina Davis' husband.
That's right.
Well, let's read all the names. Tom Hanks, Gina Davis, Madonna, Lori Petty, John Lovitz, David Strathairn, Gary Marshall, Bill Pullman, Megan Kavanaugh, Rosie O'Donnell, Tracy Rainier. Who else?
Betty Schramm. She's the one that plays the nurse on Monk.
And Cusack.
Oh, yeah.
And Cusack is in this.
Yes.
The not so famous Cusack,
Eddie Jones.
Only directed by Penny Marshall. It's fun. I love this movie. It's my number three. It's really my number three. It's funny. What's his name? Gary Marshall plays a fictionalized version of the real owner, but the original, the guy who really founded the All American Girls Professional Baseball League was the Wrigley Field guy, Philip Wrigley. So. But this one, they kind of gave him like a fake name, which is weird.
I wonder if the Wrigley family didn't approve.
Oh, and he's candy bars, not
yeah, he's not candy gum. Bars, not gum. Yeah, so,
so good.
Yes,
so quotable.
I know every just quote such you a can great quote movie. This movie up.
No crying in baseball.
Down.
Yeah, yeah. I love it. But it's just
and all the characters are really fleshed out. Like, you know, Tom Hanks is a good guy, but he has his demons, and everybody has their kind of like good side and bad side. There was no character where. There wasn't like it didn't feel stereotypical in any way. Like it wasn't like, oh, you're going to be this. Everybody had like a good and dark side to them.
And also like my favorite scene is when like the girls are introduced to Tom Hanks' character and like he just peeing like
for 3 minutes straight and they're like timing it.
And the girl who takes her son everywhere, that's pretty funny.
That's Betty Schramm.
I love the scene where they're all trying to like pump up the ratings by doing things like catching the ball while doing the splits and, you know. It's like it's a montage of them doing ridiculous things.
Yeah. So good.
One thing I have to say, though, don't ever watch. It's one of the first, I think, must be one of the first pan and scan movies they ever made. And I remember watching it on TV once, and it's the worst pan and scan I've ever seen in my life. It'll give you a headache. Like when there's a scene with two people talking, they literally pan from one person to the other person because they're on the other opposite ends of the screen. It's really the worst of the pan and scan movies.
Terrible.
It's terrible. Yeah. I saw it on TV once and I thought, oh, I got a headache.
Yeah, I mean, I remember watching it. Anytime it was on, I would watch it.
Oh,
it's one of those movies.
Yeah.
And it
makes me cry at the end when they all start singing. That makes me cry every time.
I cry every time.
It's so creepy.
But there's no crying in baseball.
There's no crying in baseball. But okay, the fact that they got that woman who looks just like Gina Davis, but older, to play older Gina Davis.
Right.
Where did they find her?
Very cool that we all picked it. Jenny, do you have anything to add to this?
I did just watch Free Willy last night and forgot Kit was in that.
Lori Petty.
That was on Nick.
Isn't she also in Singles?
You know the part that I opened it up, I turned it on, and it was the part where the kids start beating on the glass and the water starts breaking. I was like, this is the part that I freaking turned the movie on. It's so sad. I hate that part.
What's the name?
Willie's all upset. The water's coming out of the tank. He's going to die, guys. It's really sad.
Terrible.
I was watching
Michael Madsen.
Yes. It's funny. I was listening to an interview with Michael Madsen. He was saying how, like, when that movie came out, Reservoir Dogs had, you know, it was around the same time, you know, and he talked about how a lot of kids would go, oh, that's the dad from Free Willy, and try to go up to him, and like the parents had clearly seen like Reservoir Dogs and be like, no, let's we shouldn't, no, we'll get it later, and it kind of like takes the kids away from him. Cut your ear off.
Yeah, so, Lori Petty's good. She's Tank Girl. And
yeah. And she's Point also Break. In Point Break. Yeah, Point Break style. All right. Good pick, guys.
Yeah, good pick, guys. Way to go.
Way to go, team. Michelle, what is your number two?
Okay, so my number two is, I think, I had a hard time between my number one and number two. Like, I kept going, waving back and forth as to which one was going to be number one and which one was going to be number two, because that's how amazing I think this movie is. And it is The Natural. Robert Redford, Robert Duvall. I love this movie so much.
I thought this was going to happen. That's my number two also.
Is that your number really? Two, too? Yeah. That's so crazy.
It's so good.
Oh, my God.
It's Glenn
Close. Everything about this movie is amazing.
Baseball movies are really easy. Like, there's something about nostalgia in baseball movies.
Yeah.
But this is, like, to me, the most epic baseball movie. Like, the scale of it.
It has, like, magic in it.
Yeah,
like, it even has, like, this magic with the lightning struck the tree that he carved his bat. I mean, it's just, like, all these little...
And it's the period piece.
Yeah, it is a period. It's, like, the 30s. Is it supposed to take place in the
30s? That sounds right.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's Robert Redford, for Christ's sakes, and Robert Duvall. So, yeah, it's an amazing cast. Glenn Close plays the girl. Glenn Close.
Kim Basinger.
Wilford Brimley Kim Basinger
as the coach, though. Like, Wilford Brimley as the coach, you can't beat that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'm Wilford Brimley. And
have you seen it, Jenny?
No, I haven't.
I like this movie, but it's not a movie. Maybe because it's so sentimental or like kind of. Yeah, it's weird. Like, it's not a movie like I like rewatching.
Oh, my God. I can watch this over and over again. And like that moment where he hits the ball and it bursts the lights.
All the lights go out.
And all the lights go out. Like, it's such a classic baseball image of him hitting the ball into the lights. That's just, I don't know. It's just classic baseball. Like, for me, baseball always makes me feel good. Like, I'm happy at the games. I love being there. I love hearing the ball, hearing the crowd. And that's what this movie gives me.
Yeah.
Is that same feeling. And I just love it so much. And it's another one that makes me cry. And it's a little heart pulls at your heartstrings. I love it.
I keep meaning to read the novel. Have you read
the novel? Oh, no, I haven't. I didn't realize it was based on a novel. Yeah. I should get that.
Yeah. It's, I don't know. It's
is it called The Natural?
I believe so.
Huh.
And then, this is the one movie, the most notable movie to me, that they don't use real team names. It's the New York Knights rather than the Yankees.
I don't know. I think in my head, I just assumed that maybe some of that had to do with the time period. But you're right. There was never the New York Knights.
Yeah.
It never even occurred to me. I just thought, it's so long ago.
Yeah, I think just because they're going for more of that fantasy element.
Yeah,
And then they've got like the Babe Ruth type character, but it's not Babe Ruth who pitches the three fastballs past him.
Yeah, and this is Barry Levinson directed. It's so good.
I love it.
Yeah. Very cool. It's a good movie. I love it. And it's just one movie that I just can't. I have to really be in the mood for this movie to watch it, I feel, all the time. All right, Jenny, what is your number two?
Okay, so my number two. What was it? Oh, yeah. It's a more recent one, actually, but I've seen it a few times and I love it a lot. It's 2011's Moneyball.
Damn you, it's my number one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Well, let's talk about it. It's... I love this movie because it's still. There's a lot of stillness in it. you know what? Like, this movie... I don't know. It went hand in hand with like number one of that year. It just, I love this movie.
What was your number one of that
year? I don't remember.
Drive? I might have been Drive.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I thought Moneyball was your number one.
It might have been my number one.
I actually think Moneyball was your number one that year.
Yeah, I think it was my number one. Yeah, 2011.
I didn't.
It clearly stood the test of time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it might have been up there.
But okay, so you talk about it first.
Okay. Well, I'm really bad at knowing my history of things in general. I just don't know things. And so movies to me are really interesting because I learn so much from movies. And because I don't read, and I hated studying in school. So this story in general was really interesting to me. I didn't know anything about this, but I'm really big into math. I love math, and so I felt like
a liar, bullshit.
No, I love that's my one subject.
She likes you math. She's always been.
You
good
don't
at
have
math.
To study. Yeah. You just can be good at math.
Yeah.
You don't have to learn numbers. You don't have to learn like dates and stuff.
Yeah.
And words. And words are hard.
So the whole thing of mixing baseball and math, because I felt like there was a whole lot of math technique and stuff in there. It was really interesting, all the statistics and everything like that. And I think I'd actually really like, I would really like the book, actually. My thing, I think I'm fairly good at statistics, and so I probably would like reading that one. Yeah. I haven't read it, but
the book is all about
the math.
It's like, I think
that's, take away the baseball from it and leave. That's basically what the book is.
That's what I was
very
told, yeah.
When they said they were going to make a movie based on that book, I was like,
shocked.
Okay, you guys are ridiculous. Like, absolutely. Like, I couldn't believe that they'd be able to do it. So, yeah. I mean, props on that.
And only one man was able to do that. Well, two, but mainly one, Aaron Sorkin.
Mm-hmm. I love him. He's fantastic. The dialogue,
it's got the Sorkin dialogue.
Yeah, it's so great. And he picked a great cast for it. Mm. Everything about it, I love. I don't know. Yeah. I just love everything about him.
For me, like, thematically, is what the thing got me. Actually, it was my number two that year. My number one was Drive.
Oh, okay.
But so my number, the reason I love this movie is thematically, like, I love movies. Like, I feel like everybody kind of like has like a thematic articulate this. Every person, you know, especially people who love film or any kind of art, like, they have this theme running through their lives of something they really love, you know. For me, like, it's always been like loyalty. Like, anything having to do with loyalty, like in a movie or in like literature or anything like that, like, I'm instantly attracted to. And for me, that's what got me, like Billy Beane's like loyalty to his fucking team, you know what I mean, is what got me. And like, it just, for me, it's like it's a love letter not only to baseball but like to his team. Like, hey, I love it. I'm always gonna stay with you guys through the bad and through the good. And also, it's like, just the way he was shot, I think a lot of credit should go to Wally Pfister.
It's amazing cinematography. I mean, it's beautifully shot. Work.
Yeah, and
it's beautiful.
Like, for me, the best shot, the one that almost like made me like cry at the end was the last shot when he's driving and he puts in the tape of his daughter, you know, singing, and you see the city in the background, and you see him, and it's kind of like out of focus at times, like Brad Pitt's out of focus. And it's just a really, really, really well, like frame shot. And, you know, a lot of the stuff is, like, really well shot. Like,
it's beautiful.
Yeah. And
that whole scene of deciding on which player to drop and all that, like, the suspense of that. But the way that they shot it and the way that the dialogue went, that whole scene, like, it was enough suspense to make you, like, even on the edge of your seat, like, any suspenseful film. You're like, what's going to happen? Who's going to get picked?
I know, even though, like, you know, and, like, there's history and you know what it is.
Like,
Have they actually won a series yet?
Since then?
No, they haven't.
No. It's so, and then I think, like, I stand by, if Wally hadn't done the cinematography for this, I don't think it would have been as good a film as it was.
Well, no, of course not. He's such an amazing cinematographer. Yeah.
And just like them having, also, you're kind of looking at the film not only through Brad Pitt's point of view, but also Jonah Hill's character's point of view. So, meaning, like, he has to, like, learn how to fire somebody. And, like, those are things that you don't ever think about. Like, hey, those are things that when you go to school and you're in college, those are things that never come to mind. Like, hey, if you're successful and you're the boss, you're eventually going to have to fucking fire somebody. And that's a hard thing to do, you know, or like trade somebody. And it's those scenes were kind of really fun to watch, I think. And all the supporting actors were really good, you know, like Chris Pratt is one of the.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Chris Pratt, Philip Seymour Hoffman, Robin Wright, and I loved what's his name? Spike Jones's cameo as as his as Brad Pitt's ex-wife's new husband.
That's right.
And the girl who played his daughter was really, really good. So
Yeah, it was a great cast. I mean, great dialogue, great, beautiful shots. All around, it's a solid film that will stand the test of time, I think.
And just kind of seeing, like, I feel like this was as close as you came to seeing, like, behind the curtain during, like, off-season baseball. Like, when they're in the boardroom and they're kind of talking about... You have like the older guys, you know, with their older methods, and then you have Billy Bean coming in. And
there is a little bit of a surprise that they actually decided to do this movie, considering that they didn't win. So it isn't that story of, and then this team came from nowhere and actually won. You know, because the numbers game works over a long period of time, but it doesn't work not a 7-game series. Yeah. It just doesn't.
Yeah, and that's I think what I like. Another reason I like it's because it's not you don't always win them, you know, sometimes you lose, and that's I love that ending. So I like that he didn't, spoiler alert, didn't take the job with the Boston Red Sox. But yeah, so anything else you want to add to it?
No, I love it, and the score is fantastic too. Yes, it's Sorkin and he always does fantastic scores. Yeah,
huh,
the score for it,
Sorkin.
Yeah, he always has fantastic scores for all his movies.
She's not saying that he scored it. Yes. We don't think that Sorkin was sitting at home.
All of his movies are fantastic.
Yeah.
He picks the right person to score it. Is he what wasn't I'm
like plucking notes out.
Sorkin, I mean, he doesn't pick the person.
Yeah, he didn't pick the person to score them because he's a writer. Aaron Sorkin's a writer.
Oh, well.
Yeah, but I hear you.
But the American president has an amazing score.
By the way.
I mean, Social Network does.
Yeah,
that's Sorkin.
Coincidentally,
who did the score on this?
Original music by Mikael Dana.
I don't know who that is.
Well,
now I do. Yeah. He did the score for Moneyball.
You mean Michael Dana?
Yeah. It was spelled really differently.
It's Michael Dana.
Oh, his name's Michael. Yeah. Okay.
Mikael Dana. Yeah. But all around, good movie. This movie is one movie I could watch anytime, all day, every day.
I could too.
There you go.
I agree.
That's
my number two.
I liked it. It was okay.
It was okay. Not on your list. Not on.
You're talking mentions. About it of baseball movies or in general.
And
neither. It's not
really.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. All right.
I saw it once. And I was like, that was all right.
Well,
we actually saw it in San Francisco. Ricardo and I, when we were on vacation, we saw it in a theater in San Francisco. It seemed kind of apt.
We almost went to Oakland, but
it's
kind of like sketch.
Oh my heavens! We weren't in Oakland. We were staying in San Francisco.
All right. So that was your number two, Jenny.
Yep.
That was my number one. And my number two is, I feel like this is going to be controversial, that it's my number two.
At this point, you started with the fans. So.
Yeah. It has a little bit of cheese, but I love it. I rewatched it a couple times this last month just because it was on TV and I just sat down and watched it again. It is a movie from 1999 and it is For Love of the Game.
I love that movie.
Some people say For the Love of the Game, but there's no "the." It's just For Love of the Game. Yeah.
Ugh.
And it's directed by Sam Raimi. So apropos to Evil Dead coming out. Yes, I'll admit it's a little cheesy, but it is. I love it. This is the thing. Kevin Costner plays a good baseball player, period.
Well, and the whole movie takes place during him pitching a perfect
game. It's one game.
It's one game, and it's him playing a perfect game, pitching a perfect game. And, I mean, there's something so magical in general about the idea of pitching a perfect game and the fact that you can lose it at any point in time. And in the moment you actually realize, oh, my God, I'm pitching a perfect game, is probably when you're going to lose it.
Yeah.
But I just, there's something about that I just love.
It's basically, for the people who haven't seen it, it's... about Kevin Costner's character, Billy Chappell. At the beginning of the movie, he gets told by the team owner, he plays for the Detroit Tigers, he gets told that the team's been sold, and that the new owner, the first order of business for the new owners is to trade him. Like, he's going to get traded to the Giants. And so basically, it's either going to get traded or he's got to, like, retire, you know? And he has this game to kind of think about, like, his choices in life and a lost love, who's played by Kelly Preston, who plays Jane Aubrey. And the whole movie's kind of told through flashback. And so you're watching, it's not only telling the game, the story of this last game he's playing, but also, like, you know, this lost love. And, you know, his, and also the... I love John C. Reilly in this. He plays the catcher. Yeah. And he's got some cheesy, like, dialogue, but it's really fun. Like, I like the scene where he goes up to him and tells him, like, we've... Because in the movie, like, they're not going to go to the playoffs. This is kind of... It's just kind of like Kim Costner's last game, basically.
He knows it's his last game. Yeah, like, and, this is his last game playing probably in professional sports.
Yeah, and or before he gets traded to the Giants. But, you know, quickly you find out that this will be his last game. And he tells them, like, hey, we lost. We're not going to the playoffs. But, like, right now, with you pitching and you having the hitter, we're winning. Like, this is playing in the moment type of thing. And the team owner is played by Brian Cox, who's awesome. I didn't know him back then when I saw him. Like, I didn't know his body of work, but he's great. Jenna Malone plays Kelly Preston's daughter. John C. Reilly's in it. Kevin Costner. J.K. Simmons plays the team manager. And a really big thing for me is that Vin Scully is the announcer in the movie, the baseball announcer. And Vin Scully is the announcer for the Los Angeles Dodgers. And he's amazing. He's
one of the best. He's the best announcer.
He has, like, the perfect combination of like announcing the game, the play by play, and giving like history and stats.
Yeah, he's really good at color, mixing the play-by-play with the color.
But really, like, he's, like, a great storyteller. Like, I bet you if you just sit down with him and talk, like, tell him stories, he'd have, like, the best stories because he's just a good storyteller. But anyway, it's a fun movie, and it's kind of nostalgic, kind of gets you a little weepy.
It does. You definitely get a little cry on. Little cry.
But that's all I'll say. Go see it for Love of the Game.
It's a good movie. Yeah. I do really like it.
From 1989.
And Kevin Costner plays an amazing baseball player.
Yes,
yes he does.
More than one movie. Adam, what is your number two?
My number two was The Natural.
Oh, yeah, The Natural. Okay. So we're back to me. And speaking of Kevin Costner movies, my number one is Bull Durham, which is, like, the most amazing baseball movie of all time to me.
Very cool.
It really is amazing.
It's a good one.
It's a good one. I actually have got to see a Durham Bulls game when I was in high school, and saw the bull, and when they hit a home run, the smoke and they had the whole thing. It was amazing. It was I saw a game at the stadium there, Durham Bulls Stadium.
Well, give us a synopsis. Don't you have to read it? Just give us the synopsis.
The synopsis is you have here. Let me read. I'm not good at thinking of things on the spot like that. Oh, my phone's locked. Why are you not opening phone? So here's the synopsis. A fan who has an affair with one minor league baseball player each season meets an up-and-coming pitcher and an experienced catcher assigned to him. Okay, that's terrible synopsis. Kevin Costner plays Crash Davis. He's a minor league baseball player who is very good minor league baseball player. He did get to go to the big show briefly, but didn't work out and got sent back to the minors. But he's older. He's middle-aged. He's never going to get back to the show. He's stuck playing in the minors. And Tim Robbins plays Nuke, and Nuke comes in, and he's the new guy. He's the kid. And Crash is basically, as the catcher, is assigned to getting Nuke, you know, ready to go because he's going to end up on the show. So he has to get him trained. And then Susan Sarandon plays the uber fan of the Durham Bulls who watches every game. And every season she has an affair with a player. And this year she's going to have an affair with either Crash or Nuke. So there's a little bit of a love triangle there. But, I mean, a lot of this is just about the movie. So, you know, there's the love story, but so much of it is just about baseball and loving the game and Crash just, you know, like if you got sent back to the minors, a lot of people would be like done and they go on and they go work at Home Depot or whatever you do when you don't make it. But he loved baseball so much that he had to keep playing. He didn't want to stop playing baseball because that's how much he loved it. Like he says, he has the line like, you know, about baseball. It's, you hit the ball, you catch the ball, you throw the ball. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose, and sometimes it rains. You know, and that's baseball. That's what it is. And he every moment of this is great. You know, when they're in their losing streak, and he makes a rain delay by setting off all the sprinklers at the field. It's great. You know, and when they're winning, and Nuke won't change his underwear or what have you. Like
he's wearing ladies'
garters. Oh, that's right. He's wearing ladies' garters. That's what he's doing. And you know, and then you have the moment on the mound where they all are out there discussing what to get the one player who was getting married for his wedding presents, you know?
And yeah.
I just...
And Kevin Costner kind of has to be like... He kind of has to be like a Tim Robbins is kind of like mentor.
He's the mentor. Yeah. He's the one that's pulling Crash along, even though Crash is pulling Nuke along to bring him, to get him to be a good player, you know, and teach him a better player, teach him how to actually be a man in a way and answer questions and not be such a crazy kid. You know, he even says, like, when you throw a punch, you know, when he gets him angry and he punches him, he's like, don't punch me with your pitching hand. Like, what is wrong with you? Like, first rule, you're a pitcher. You punch me with the other hand. Come on. Everything. There's a wonderful speech Kevin Costner has about love and baseball all wrapped up and kissing. And it's all just one thing. It's this movie is a love story for baseball, I think. And that's why I love it so much.
Yeah,
I love it also, and it is also one of my number ones.
It's a tie. Okay.
But yeah, I love that Susan Sarandon's character is like she talks about the Church of Baseball.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That's like, and that's the opening of the movie. Like, she's narrating in and out at different spots,
right.
Like narrating the season, and she's great. And I guess this is the movie where they met, she and Tim Robbins.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
But they're all so great. The three of them are so great together. The little love triangle is so much fun. And yeah.
I understand it because I understand the Church of Baseball because I love baseball so much. Mm-hmm. So like, I get her character, and I wish I could be that person that goes to the minor league game every game. And
sleeps with a baseball player?
you know, you do what you got to do. No, but you know, and she sends notes like, hey, pull your hips in and you're doing this. You know, like, I want to be like that. That's awesome.
The batting cage scene with her and Kevin Costner is amazing.
It's so good.
It's one of the best baseball movies.
And it's also written, directed by Ron Shelton, who wrote and directed Cop. And he just an overall good, like, sports, like, he does well with, like, sports movies. I mean, some not so much, but he did Bull Durham. He did White Man Can't Jump, Hob, Tin Cup, Play to the Bone.
Tin Cup is another good one, but that's golf. But
yeah.
I do enjoy Tin Cup.
Yeah.
I don't think we'll do a golf podcast.
No, I don't think we're going to do a golf podcast.
Dude.
We would have Badger Vance and Tin Cup and
Caddyshack.
Caddyshack.
Too.
Happy Madison. What's the?
You didn't do your recap.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I forgot to do my recap. Hang on. Let me pull up my page.
Oh, great.
I didn't remember. I'm the guest here. Be nice. Okay. So sorry. My number five was Bad News Bears. My number four was 8 Men Out. My number three is A League of Their Own. Number two, The Natural. And number one, Bull Durham.
Very cool. Jenny, what is your recap and your number one?
Okay. Sorry, I was reading that. I forgot all that baseball quote. The baseball church.
The church of baseball. I mean, you get it's it, so right? Good. Like, it's like, yes, that I understand that life.
Yeah. I have a thing for pitchers. Anyways. So my number five was Angels in the Outfield. My number four was The Benchwarmers. Three was A League of Their Own. Two, Moneyball. And my number one was The Sandlot.
Oh, that's very cool.
Right. Yeah.
All right. This will be a quick one because just like Jenny, I already did all my movies. Okay. My number five was a tie with Cobb and The Fan. Yeah. Four was the Jackie Robinson Story.
I'm sorry. That's the weirdest tie.
What?
The Fan and Cobb. That's just
That's like they're totally opposite.
It was two movies that really were about baseball, but not really because spend too much time
with
baseball.
Weird.
Four, The Jackie Robinson Story. Three, A League of Their Own. Two, For Love of the Game. And number one, Moneyball. Done.
Okay, so my number five was The Sandlot. My number four was 61. My number three was A League of Their Own. Number two was The Natural. And number one is a tie for two Kevin Costner movies, Bull Durham. Yeah. And Field of Dreams.
I was so worried no one was going to do Field of Dreams. I was like, I purposely left it off my list because I'm like, well, someone obviously is going to do Field of Dreams. Thank you for doing that.
Yeah, I can't not do Field of Dreams.
No kidding.
I think I've had it on another list, at least in an honorable mention. But this movie, I mean, because there's the baseball aspect, but then there's the father-son aspect, and then there's the magic aspect. It's just it's a nice little trifecta in its favor, but so good. I'm... Yeah. I don't I don't know a grown man who likes baseball who doesn't tear up at the end when he asks his dad if he wants to have a catch.
Oh my gosh, it's such a sad. It's so
So I like this movie, but I don't love it because of the whole like magical part of it.
What the hell is wrong?
Oh, I know. You're broken. Magic is awesome.
Yeah,
it's I so want good. More magic in my life.
Ray Liotta comes and whispers to you in your sleep to build a baseball field in your cornfield.
Yeah, I wouldn't build it. And they're never
coming. Is it a location like people can go visit that?
Do you know? Yeah.
That so you can go to that field.
Yeah, I mean it was. I don't know that it's still there, but for a longest time it was. It was still there. You could go to that field in the middle of a cornfield.
Is it like in Iowa? Where would it be?
I believe. Yeah, I believe it's in Iowa. I mean,
I want to do that.
But it also ties back into 8 Men Out because it's about the Black Sox not getting to play anymore, and so part of it is they want to have a place to play, and so Shoeless Joe comes back.
Oh, Shoeless Joe.
And but so okay, so Ray Liotta plays Shoeless Joe this time. Kevin Costner plays Ray Kinsella. Amy Madigan plays his wife. Gabby Hoffman plays their daughter. It's got a great cast. Timothy Busfield as Amy Madigan's brother, who's like, "Why are you building? Why did you get rid of half your crops or most of your crops and build a baseball field?"
Right.
And like talking about how they need to sell their
property.
Did
he explain to him that he had a dream? I mean, he does, but
no one gets it.
Frank Whaley's in this.
Frank Whaley's in it. James Earl Jones, Burt Lancaster.
Oh well, James Earl Jones.
It's so good. Just all over the place.
Can I
just
say I really love Timothy Busfield as well?
Yes.
He's one of those actors that every time he comes on, I'm like, he's amazing. He's so good. Mm-hmm. Doesn't get the respect he deserves because he's a character actor, but he's so good.
I love every episode of The West Wing that he's on.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
So much
I think, isn't he a director now too? He directs? I know he directed some episodes of The West Wing as well.
And then I think he's just kind of a Sorkin tag-along now because he was also on Studio 60.
Has he been on Newsroom yet?
I don't think
can we send a message to Aaron Sorkin that needs to happen soon?
Mm-hmm. Where were we? Okay, so there's another just great character actors playing the Black Sox. Michael Milhone, Steve Easton, Art LaFleur. And it's just so much fun. And like you've got ghosts and magic and James Earl Jones threatening Kevin Costner with a crowbar as Kevin Costner is trying to kidnap him, pretending he has a gun in his pocket, but it's really just his finger. And just hearing James Earl Jones say, "That's not a gun, that's your finger."
I feel like I haven't seen this movie very recently and I should watch it.
I love
again.
It. I can watch it anytime.
The writer, director of this movie,
Phil Alden Robinson.
Yeah, he also came up with a story for Rhinestone, the Stallone Dolly Parton movie.
Yes.
So you know, a little trivia.
Yes. I think he also likes Timothy Busfield. I feel like Timothy Busfield shows up in a lot of Phil Alden Robinson stuff because Sneakers is another one of my favorite movies, and he's in that too.
Yeah, and he directed that.
It just shows how good of an actor he is that directors want to continually work with him. That just means that he's good and he shows up and he does his job and that the directors don't have to worry about him because they know he's going to show up and do his job and do it well. Mm-hmm. And if director keeps using the same person, that's usually means that
it's a good sign.
Good to work with. So everybody should be hiring Timothy Busfield is what I'm saying right now.
And everyone should watch Field of Dreams.
Yes.
Especially cool. Ricardo.
Yeah. All right. Very cool. Any honorable mentions you guys want to throw out? There's so many movies that could have been in this list.
I know. I didn't even do the honorable mentions.
Really?
I didn't. Go ahead.
All my honorable mentions are the kid movies that I really like as a kid, but I'm just like.
So throw them out there.
So I loved Rookie of the Year.
Yep.
Yeah.
I loved Little Big League.
Aww. Rookie of the Year is a little dangerous because at one point I was like, man, maybe a five ball on my shoulder.
If I break my arm in the right way,
break my arm
I'll be able
please.
To pitch I wouldn't want to pitch for the Cubs.
I'd
pitch for the Padres.
And Gary Busey will show up and yell
at me. Gary Busey will show up and yell at me. And Daniel Stern will be funny and weird.
Three prongs of the devil.
I'm an angel in human suit.
Yeah. What's your other honorable mention?
Major League.
Oh yeah, Major
One
League.
One and two.
Yeah, I have to throw that out there.
I think that's about it.
Speaking of Gary Busey, there is a video on YouTube where he describes. He's talking about Lord of the Rings and Hobbits and how they're real, and it is awesome.
He's he has issues.
He had that motorcycle accident.
All right. Done. All right. Anything else you guys want to mention?
So we had a couple people tweeted us.
Yes.
At J777A. Hey, Dad.
Hi, Dad.
He loves baseball. He probably would have done this one as much as he did the flight one. He probably would have loved to do this one, too. He said, 5, bang the drum slowly, De Niro before Scorsese and Coppola. 4, the natural, mythical and mystical. 3, Bull Durham, Costner at his best. 2, Moneyball, realistic baseball action. And 1, Field of Dreams, the one constant, baseball. And Brandon Cranford, who... It's at Ann Bran Cran. he always is fantastic at tweeting at us his picks, too. And he did 5, Rookie of the Year, 4, Major League, 3, Moneyball, 2, A League of Their Own, and 1, The Sandlot, and Field of Dreams omitted on purpose.
See, he's like me. He knew what was up. I get it.
And then
I get
he said, to be fair, I really don't like baseball movies. Or don't like baseball, sorry. He doesn't really like baseball, so...
Yeah,
he picked the good ones, so for
very
sure.
Cool.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Thanks for
keep
for,
paying attention to our tweets. Sorry that I'm doing it like a few hours beforehand.
That's all right.
I try to do it as soon as I remember, but try to pay attention and tweet us, and we will mention you guys during the podcast. We love our followers very much, and like us on Facebook because we're getting up there. We're starting. We're kind of semi close to like 150. I think.
And if you're friends on Facebook, like us on Twitter. Or not like us, but follow us. You know what I'm talking about.
We appreciate all of our fans very much.
All right. And all these movies we mentioned, you could buy on Amazon.com. And if you're going to do so, head on over to our website at thefilmpodcast.com and hit the little link on the bottom left corner. It says Amazon. Click on that.
It looks like a little Amazon shipping box.
No, actually, we changed it. It's just on our links. It just says links.
It just says Amazon.
Yeah, I liked that better.
I know, because I had to look for it the last time I was on the webpage.
Sorry.
I was like, where did it go?
It just says Amazon, and click
on
that.
And then, why not, once you click on it the first time, bookmark it?
Yeah.
Because that's what I do. And then you can just go to that link every single time.
And it doesn't cost you any extra money. It just
gives us a little.
Yeah. All right, and you could follow us on Facebook, Twitter. On Twitter, we're at The Film Podcast. You could follow me on Twitter as well, at Ricardo, ULTRERAS.
I'm at Jhenigh, JHENEIGH.
I'm at Michelle Coyle, if anybody cares to follow me, and that's Michelle.
She tweets a lot about Doctor Who, I'm just saying.
I do. It's really, it's unhealthy. But that's MICHELLECOYLE.
I'm at an Adam Scott, @_AdamScott.
There you go. Not the real Adam Scott.
I'm a real Adam Scott.
You're a real Adam Scott. Yeah.
He's real. He's a real boy.
Yeah, he's a real boy. I can see him. He's full flesh and blood right next to us.
All right. What else? Follow us.
Once we post this, send us your picks too. We love seeing y'all's picks for sure.
Very cool things
that we forgot, possibly. And if you have any ones that you want to suggest for us to watch, any Netflix streams that you like that you want us to see.
Yeah, post it on the Facebook or Twitter. Until next time, have a good week.